Marietta Hagen is here with us. Marietta, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We are great. Before we get into all the stuff we're supposed to talk about.
We never do that. You know that.
That's right. I asked you what was new and exciting with you, and you told me it's camping season.
Yes.
So you have a pull behind trailer, right?
Mm-hmm, yep. And we typically go almost every weekend from March to November.
And I was so shocked. I told her I tented. And what did you tell me?
That tents are, we consider tents soft tacos for bears.
So, oh, my goodness.
Well, I'm from Nebraska, so there was only maybe a coyote or two.
Yeah.
You know? You're a crunchy taco for bears.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
You mentioned having gone to Yellowstone. Did you pull a trailer out there?
We did. We spent 2 weeks. We went from Estes Park, Colorado, spent 5 days there, and drove up to Yellowstone, stayed 7 days there. It was amazing.
It is amazing up there. Yeah.
I lost my sight 42 years ago. Prior to that, I had gone when I first moved from California to Nebraska. My first vacation, we went to Estes Park and happened to be the peak weekend of the peak year for fall colors.
Ooh.
And so if you mentioned to me about the fall colors around here, in my mind, I see Estes Park in the fall. And
I bet
wow,
that was gorgeous.
That was gorgeous. Yeah. Oh, it was amazing. Yeah, Estes Park's pretty at any time of the year. Yeah.
And then the last vacation he took was through the Smoky Mountains.
Yeah, so somebody, a friend of mine's over there right now, and I can remember that vividly. Smoky Mountains are pretty, but boy, nothing like Estes Park. That was cool.
We're going to Smoky Mountains in October.
Are you?
Yes.
Stay in Pigeon Forge, or are you going to stay in the park itself?
Next to the park. There's a campground that's a couple miles from
it. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, you'll enjoy it.
Can't wait.
Super. All right. You're not here to talk about camping. It's not Camping 101 with Marietta.
No.
What you've been up to lately, what's going on, and what activities are we here to talk about?
So today we're here to talk about the drug take back event.
I heard about that.
Yes.
And I wanted to find out more about it.
So it happens twice a year, the last Saturday in April and the last Saturday in October, and we're already there again. Can't believe it.
Yes, we are.
So there are multiple sites around Stone and Taney County. We have the Branson Walgreens and the Lakeland and Branson are going to be a host site this Saturday.
Lakeland Pharmacy.
On Branson Hills Parkway.
Right.
Yep. By Target.
And which one? Which Walgreens?
The one across from Titanic on 165.
Oh, okay.
They will be open from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And then we also have the Hollister Walgreens. Hollister Police Department's hosting with us there from 10 to 2. So those are the three Taney County locations. And then in Stone County, we are partnering with Stone County Community Health Coalition and the Brook for their Heart Health and Recovery Walk. And
we're hosting. They're doing that at Kimberling City.
Yes, at the marina.
Yeah, we had them on yesterday, right, Keith?
Yes, they were here yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, Rosie and Stan.
So we're going to be there for that event and have the Kimberling City Police Department is going to have a booth for take back there. So that event will be 9 to 12. Typically, the national hours are 10 to 2, but so that we could take advantage of that partnership, we're going to shift that one to 9 to 12.
So who is the organization that spearheads this?
So it's a community effort. We have a couple of coalitions, the Taney County Adapt Coalition, the Stone County Community Health Coalition, my project with Skaggs Foundation and Cox Health, the Substance Use Initiative, and then, of course, our law enforcement and pharmacy partners. We couldn't do it without them. This year, we have Branson Police Department, Hollister Police Department, and Kimberling City Police Department. And then in the past, we've had Stone County Sheriff, Taney County Sheriff, you know, whoever is available that weekend and wants to host. And it really, truly is. We have volunteers who come and man the booths. It's amazing to see everybody come together for the one purpose.
You need volunteers at this point, or are we pretty good shape?
We are in pretty good shape. I know Rosie could use volunteers for the actual event.
Oh, yeah.
She mentioned that to me yesterday.
Yes, she did, yeah.
But as far as the take-back tables, we are good with those.
So may I? I'm yes. new to this. So tell me, are you getting people that are doing drugs to bring them in?
So that is an option. One of the great things about the drug take back, it is free and it's anonymous and it's very simple. You'd simply walk up, you drop your stuff in a nondescript cardboard box and you walk away. There's no information taken.
Is it prescription drugs too?
Yes. So typically we are targeting expired or unneeded prescription drugs. That could include pet meds, creams, gels, liquids, patches.
So the things grandma had
in the 1970s.
File in the cabinet and it's expired 12 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, bring that stuff
back.
Yep.
We could also take over-the-counter pills, vitamins. Those pet meds are very important to get rid of as well.
I think I better go through my closet.
Yes, yes, most definitely. a lot of people don't realize that over time medication loses its effectiveness. And so if you've got a bottle of medication in there that's 2 or 3 years old, it may not be as effective as it once was.
So. It makes sense.
And it's also very dangerous if someone else gets their hands on it.
No. When I was a kid, I took a Midol.
Uh-huh.
And the little box had kind of gotten rusty. Oh, my goodness. That hurts.
Yeah.
Not a good idea.
No.
Yeah. Situation is tragic, of course, with what people have going on in drugs and what have you, but paraphernalia and the other stuff that goes along with that, if somebody wants to bring that, no questions.
So we can accept, like, for example, we can accept vape cartridges that have like the liquid in them. Mm-hmm. But we can't accept the vape devices because they have batteries. Mm. We can accept liquids, creams, gels, and pills and patches, but we can't accept inhalers or syringes and needles. So we have some options for those around.
Yeah, where do people get rid of that kind of stuff?
You can contact the local police department.
If you're
or your local recovery center. Uh-huh. And at the event, we'll actually be giving out medication destruction packets as well, because really the focus of this event, it's a great event, but it's only twice a year, right? And we don't want somebody hanging on to their medications for 6 months. Sure. So what we use this event for is to promote the existence of our permanent drug drop boxes that are located throughout our two counties and our home destruction kits.
What is a home destruction kit?
So it comes in different forms. We have one little packet that's a powder base, and you pour it into the medication bottle, add water, cap it, shake it. It deactivates the medication and makes it biodegradable so you can throw it away.
You know, when I had my hip replaced, they gave me Oxy to take home. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine said, don't give it to anybody. And I wouldn't have anyway, but I got home and I put them in my coffee, my little coffee cups to get rid of. And unbelievable. Somebody called me. I'm one of my friends and wanted them.
Yep.
And it was a person I think doesn't use regularly, but nonetheless, you don't want to be giving stuff like that out.
No, because those medications were prescribed for you based on your weight, your body type, your medical history, your medical needs.
So was that a good way to get rid of them?
It's not the recommended way. You remember in the past that the FDA used to tell us to flush them down the toilet.
No,
that's
not
the recommended way either.
Not a good idea.
Send them down to Taney Como and all the fish
exactly.
Are going crazy. Don't do that no
If you
more.
Don't have another choice, that was a good choice. But now we have better choices.
Okay.
In that case, the medication still could have been extracted and misused if someone was desperate enough, right?
You'd have to be pretty desperate.
You would. But with the medication destruction packets, it actually destroys the medication.
Yeah, that's
so it
good.
Can't be misused. So we hand those out throughout the community. People just can keep them in their medicine cabinet, and anytime they have a bottle they need to get rid of, it's very easy to
use. Even if you don't have it, is there any good way to get rid of them?
Several of our law enforcement agencies and our pharmacies have these big permanent drug drop boxes. They kind of look like a big mailbox.
You mentioned permanent boxes, and I was going to ask you, where are those located?
So in Taney County, we have Hollister Police Department lobby, Branson Police Department lobby, Taney County Sheriff's Office lobby. We have one in the Cox Health Pharmacy in Branson, in the CVS Pharmacy. In Stone County, there's one at the Walmart Supercenter Pharmacy, the Stone County Sheriff's Office, and the Kimmerling City Police Department.
CVS, which...
The Lloyd Street one, not the Target.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Lloyd, okay.
All right. Now, you're asking me to take some medicine into the police department. I'm not so sure I want to do that. They got cameras. Right?
Again, very anonymous. You don't have to check in with anybody. It's sitting right in the 24/7 lobby where the dispatch center is. You just walk in, open it, drop it, walk away.
Okay.
And they don't go through those boxes. Basically, those boxes, once they're full, they just get taped up and shipped off for destruction.
Mm.
Okay. So even if your stuff was on there,
people are more comfortable sometimes removing the labels or pouring everything into a Ziploc bag, but it's not necessary. Like I said, nobody goes through it and inventories it. It's just taped up and shipped off for incineration.
Now, is that the same thing with the vape things because of the batteries and the inhalers and all that?
Yes, correct. You can't get rid of those there either.
Is there any place to get
rid of those? Yeah, where do you get rid of those?
So my recommendation would be to check with the Taney County Transfer Station. Sometimes they will accept batteries or hazardous chemicals, things like that.
What about paint?
Paint? Yeah. They will accept that too. You have to prepare it in a certain way with kitty litter and dry it out.
Really?
And
okay.
Like that. Yeah,
and that's not on the drug take back.
No, that is not. That is not.
I'm sorry. I got a bunch of paint I need to do something with.
She learned from Charlie. She chased a rabbit.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Well, I mean, I'm sitting in his chair.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Channeling him.
So all of that takes place this Saturday.
Yes.
And there are, now we're talking about Taney and Stone County.
Correct.
But is this event a statewide event?
It's a national event. So there are multiple locations throughout Missouri, throughout the nation. They can go to DEATakeback.gov or DEA.gov also has it. And there is a link, or they can just Google search drug take back 2024. And it goes to a website where they can put in their zip code, and it will tell them all of not only the live take back sites on Saturday, but also those permanent drug drop boxes that are available. So they may not have a live site next to them, but they may be close to a take box.
Permanent box.
Do many drug users get rid of their stuff during this thing?
I mean, we don't ask any questions.
If you had to,
doubtful. Just because of police presence, I would guess. Right. We do work with some of the recovery homes and the treatment centers to provide them with those medication destruction packets, because they will destroy illicit substances as well. So if someone comes in and is seeking recovery, is seeking treatment, and they have substances, they can safely destroy them at that time.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's talk about the organization. Excuse me. Go ahead.
It's all right. I'll wait.
Let's talk about the organization that you represent and that you have been very passionate about for some time, and what's going on with substance abuse in our counties, right in our area. Are we making any progress? What's happening?
Tell us about
the organization that you're involved
in. Yeah, so technically I work for Cox Health.
Right.
My project is funded through a grant from the Skaggs Foundation, and they really saw a need about 8 years ago. We're going on my ninth year next year, to really come together as a community and address the situation. And so I'm grateful to be able to work with prevention, with intervention, treatment, and response. So I get to work with police and law enforcement and emergency medical systems to talk about how to better respond to opioid overdoses and distribute Narcan and do things like that. So I think one of the greatest things that I've seen over the 8 years is the shift in the willingness to talk about it. Because when I first started this role, nobody really wanted to talk about or acknowledge that we had people struggling with substance use and mental health issues. But now it's included in a lot of conversations that it wasn't previously. And I think that we're making progress in that way. We're never going to see the end of this. You know, with your son-in-law, David, we're never going to see the end of this. But we are finding ways to get people connected to treatment, to get them into recovery. People in recovery are thriving in our area, doing amazing things. And we're working to decrease the stigma associated with seeking help for substance use.
There was a big event at the convention center recently where he was at, and I guess you were.
Yes, I was
there
too.
Yeah. So what event was that?
That was the Missouri Association of Treatment Court Professionals conference. And one of the amazing things about it is that treatment courts are a fabulous way to help individuals who struggle with substance use and mental health get out of the criminal justice cycle. So they work with people who have those disorders, and they put them through an almost 2-year program, sometimes even more, to help them get back on track and find recovery and then maintain that recovery. And all of those professionals got together there to learn more about how to do that. And it's just amazing, the judges, the attorneys, the prosecutors, the parole officers and law enforcement officers who were there, who were committed to connecting people to treatment instead of sending them to jail.
I have a niece up in Omaha, Nebraska, who is in drug court.
Yeah,
I had never understood or heard about that. But I do have a question.
Sure.
I know with all this stuff coming over the border that fentanyl is everywhere.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you seeing a lot of it here in this area?
Yes, almost exclusively. There is, from what I understand, working with law enforcement partners and people who currently use, heroin is no longer a thing. Like, you can't get it. It has been replaced completely with fentanyl. And the mortality data that's come out over the last several years show that shift. So people are dying of fentanyl overdoses, not heroin overdoses, because, for many reasons, fentanyl is easier to make. It's cheaper to make. It's more powerful, so you have less to ship, if that makes sense. And so because of its potency, it can create that overdose. So, yeah, we don't even see heroin. Now, one thing we are seeing is an increase in stimulant and opioid deaths. So people that are either using methamphetamine and think they're only using methamphetamine, but they actually have opioids in there as well, or they're purposefully using both the stimulant and the depressants.
Well, the thing with the fentanyl that concerns me is they can take a regular pill and drop a tiny bit of fentanyl in and kill somebody.
So they have, law enforcement has captured fake pills, basically, that are made to look like oxycodones or oxycontins or even benzodiazepines like Xanax, but that they are actually fentanyl pills. So it is, the DEA, I think it is, has a campaign called One Pill Can Kill, where you don't know.
You don't know.
You don't know.
So that's crazy. And I heard that when China is shipping stuff over, that they have people along the border who have the molds and who are making it and shipping it over that way.
The information that I learned from the DEA agent, I took a class in May, he did mention that a lot of it is coming from China. He didn't mention that part, so I can't verify that, but he did mention that a lot of it is coming from China through Mexico and up past the border.
God help us.
So it means that if you are taking some prescription drugs, make sure the pharmacy you're getting them from, first of all, it starts at the doctor. Make sure that that prescription's provided by a doctor. Mm-hmm. Make sure that it's filled by a pharmacy.
Yep.
And don't say if the folks around the street say, hey, you get that? I got a handful of those. I'll sell them to you cheaper. Don't do it.
Yeah, that's very dangerous. You never know where they're coming from.
And then those folks that, that just destroy their life by using something, that's heartbreaking. Because we're losing some good people.
We are. But we're also seeing some people come into recovery and thrive in it. We're hearing lots of great stories of people who are going through things like treatment court or going through treatment and coming out on the other side, like David.
Yeah.
They're doing amazing things in their community.
David's one that his, and you know the story, that. Mm-hmm. But our son-in-law, he was on parole. He could have been violated. His parole officer said to him something like, you are so passionate about what you do. If you ever get yourself straightened out, you will be very passionate about
and that
recovery.
Is so yep. true.
And she was right.
Yes.
And she did not violate him that time, but, gave him the last chance, so to speak.
Last rites.
Yeah, sort of. And he is passionate about it. And that, you can't sit down to have a conversation with him at a lunch table or whatever without recovery coming up. And he is very much on the forefront of that.
Yeah.
And so that's good. But it's amazing the numbers of people and why people aren't understanding the difficulty of it and the tragedy of it. Mm. I don't understand.
I think it's to do with the stigma and the negative connotation that substance use has in the way it's painted in media and the way it's talked about. But what a lot of people don't understand is substance use is really the effect, right? Mm-hmm. Those individuals normally are dealing with trauma or needs that are being unmet, abuse. Maybe it's a mental health disorder that hasn't been treated. Maybe it's just their life situation that they're not able to cope with. So substance use is the coping mechanism sometimes for individuals. And someone didn't wake up one day and just decide that they were going to destroy their lives, right? It's a process. But what they found is that people in that process often have those things in their history that are driving them to use substances as a coping mechanism.
Yeah, I think David says that, it's not the drugs, it was the what was going on in his life.
Yes.
And the drugs allowed him to forget about it.
And he said they were an answer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He didn't think about it. So
Rosie and Stan were here yesterday from the Brook Wellness Center mm-hmm. and talking about the event on Saturday, but we talked about the increase in mental health. Mm-hmm. And, Burrell just opened another center treatment facility in Springfield.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on why that's, we're talking about it a lot, and that's great, but there's an increase in that so much.
I don't know necessarily that I think it's an increase in actual cases of it. I think it's that we're more willing to talk about it. It's same thing with substance use, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are so many people out there that struggle with substances, but you might not know about it because people look at it as a negative. In the past, I think we have been afraid to talk about our mental health and been afraid to advocate for our mental health. But now when we're seeing an increase in suicides, an increase in overdoses, an increase in all of these negative consequences, I think we're realizing we have to talk about it, right?
Yeah.
And it's become a focus. And individuals who struggle with mental health, again, they can find treatment and find recovery from those and live thriving lives. But if they're afraid to talk about it to someone that they trust, then they're not going to be connected to those resources.
Do you use alcohol in this as well?
Oh, yes. We cigarettes and alcohol by far kill more people. But I think the challenge with those is they're legal. And now that marijuana is legal in Missouri, I think that's going to be a challenge. There's a cultural acceptance of legal substances versus illegal, where more people use the legal, but we don't see that as a negative.
Well,
right?
You know, my nephew, he was smoked cigarettes. Well, then he heard about vaping, so mm-hmm. he quit and he started doing vaping. And now he's had throat cancer.
Yeah.
And he's talking through a little funny thing in his throat.
I'm sorry.
And I am sorry too, but you know, he wouldn't listen. And he started coughing and coughing, and suddenly he couldn't breathe anymore.
Yeah,
Jim Bronner will tell you about that.
Oh yes, and the nicotine salts that are used in those vaping devices are so much. They're synthetic for one thing. They are so much stronger, and nicotine is a highly addictive substance.
Well, isn't cigarettes stronger than they were when I smoked as a kid?
Marijuana is. I don't know that cigarettes are. Tobacco,
I think they
are,
because it seems to me it's harder to quit than it was then.
It's the way the brain attaches to those substances. Nicotine is one of the hardest. It has not only the brain mechanism of it, but then the habits, right? People
right.
who always drink when they go, or always smoke when they go drinking, or have to take a break at work, something like that. Those are the things that are hard to break. And Jim is wonderful
yeah.
at helping people see what they can change in small ways in their life to break those habits mm-hmm. and to break up their relationship, basically,
yeah.
With
my sister
with
called
cigarettes.
Her a friend.
Yeah, yeah. He actually sent me an email the other day that I'm getting ready to use on our social media. It's letters that he has people write to themselves and to cigarettes for the quit day.
Really?
Breaking up with them.
And yeah, because I mean,
that's awesome.
Those letters are phenomenal. I was reading them just crying.
That's wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Sherry would go out by herself and she would visit with her friend.
Yeah, yep, exactly.
That is crazy. Yeah.
One of the things we talked about yesterday is young people. And
yes.
the whole idea that now marijuana has been legalized for personal use in our state, that the young people say, well, mom and dad do it, so it's legal, it must be okay.
Unfortunately.
Not understanding the you know, the problems that comes along with all of that. And your organization helps to get that word out, right?
Yeah, definitely. We promote education, you know, empowering youth to make the healthy decisions, really, because they're not going to listen to us telling them, right?
Right.
So we have to give them the facts. Same thing that Jim does with them on vaping. He provides them with the facts about the dangers associated with it. And again, often youth are using as a coping mechanism, whether it's bullying, whether it's stress with school, stress in their family, any kind of abuse. That substance is allowing them a way to escape, right?
Yeah.
And so you're right. We're seeing an increase, as happened in other states whenever they legalized marijuana, in youth reduction in risk of perception of risk. So we ask a question on the survey every 2 years of how risky do you think it is to use these certain substances? And the perception of risk is going down because they see their parents doing it. They see that it's legalized and they don't understand the differences in, for example, the strength of it compared to what it used to be and the different substances that they can create out of it that are so much more strong that they can even cause psychosis. With the dabs and the waxes and the shatters that are so high in the THC concentration, it's very dangerous for youth to introduce that into their body and their brains.
Rosie was telling us about a little baby 3 years old that the little brownie
yeah.
was there and pinched off just a little like a kiddo will do. And terrible
yeah.
results.
And unfortunately, a lot of those items are marketed with marketing towards youth. If you go into any of, you know, the the dispensaries, you'll see things that look like bags of nachos or candy bars or gummy bears. And those are going to be interesting to you, to young kids. So we are seeing an increase in the number of poison center calls, the number of visits to the emergency room for children who have gotten a hold of something. So not only do we encourage people to lock up their medications in a safety box, we also encourage people to lock up their marijuana and their edibles and everything to keep it out of the hands of the kids.
What is the number for the poison center?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't have it memorized, but well, I can look it up here real quick.
I know the mental health national is 988.
That one's easy.
988 has been, I understand, just flooded with calls since its introduction.
Yes.
And that's true.
And that's a three-digit number that's easy to remember.
The 988.
The poison control number is a little easy. It's 800-222-1222.
Oh, that's good.
That's a little easier, but still a long number.
800-222-1222. All right, a lot of twos in there.
Yeah.
Your organization, if somebody says, you know, she sounds like somebody that could plug me in or guide me in the right direction, how do we contact you?
Yeah, they are welcome to reach out to me via email or phone. My email address is Marietta, M-A-R-I-E-T-T-A dot Hagan, H-A-G-A-N, at coxhealth.com. On the website that I manage, drugfreeozarks.org, there's a contact us page that has a message component that'll go right to me. And then my phone number is 417-239-5165. I do want to be clear that I don't provide services to individuals, but I'm aware of organizations that do, and I can help connect them in that way.
Yes, you can. All right. Wrap up for me in a minute and a half.
Okay.
We got left. Saturday.
Saturday. This Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., National DEA Drug Take Back here in Branson. We have the Branson Lakeland Pharmacy, the Branson Walgreens Pharmacy, the Hollister Walgreens Pharmacy, and then over in Kimberling City at the Port of Kimberling Marina, there's going to be take back booths where you can bring in your expired and unneeded medications. You can go to DEA.gov and put in your zip code and find one near you if those are not convenient.
Very good. All right, Marietta, always, it is a pleasure to have you.
Nice
and
to see you.
And keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job, and we appreciate you. And just amazing. Tell Jim that we said hello.
I will. Right. Thank you guys so much.
Very good. Thank you, Marietta.